Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast, episode 48, 20,000 Leagues Out of the Shadows.
Hello.
Is that a pun? No, that's not a pun.
I don't think so.
It's a mashup is what it is. It would be the mashup of the greatest movie ever, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. Except for it wouldn't, and you'll figure this out later. I'm Brian.
Johnny.
And welcome. If you're new to the show, we talk about movies and comics and TV shows, and we talk over each other, and we have lots of fun.
I was mashing it up in my head.
You were,
actually.
Yeah.
Captain Nemo with a hockey mask.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. All right.
His name would be Casey Nemo.
Casey Nemo. Nemo Jones.
April O. Anorax.
All righty. So, welcome back. Johnny, how you doing?
Doing all right.
Did you have a good week?
Yeah, it's fine.
So, you went to see Ninja Turtles on Saturday morning.
Uh-huh.
And so I felt like I should go see Ninja Turtles so we could talk about it. And I did.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that later. But first, in just kind of news that's happening, we all know Supergirl has moved to the CW.
Yeah.
And then last week they announced that Superman is going to be on Supergirl.
Was it this week? It was this week.
Or this week,
yeah,
sorry.
This week.
It was after we recorded last week. Whatever. So
that's the way you put it. After we recorded last
after
week.
After we recorded last week. Anyway. And it's not just gonna be a cameo. It's the first two episodes.
Which probably will tie to what happened at the end of the finale.
Which I haven't watched yet.
Okay.
So but
well, it'll probably tie to the end of what happens at the end of the finale.
Okay. So, you know, I think, first off, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
That they're doing that. It would be nice if we could get like a good TV version of Batman. One thing I did not realize
when
I was reading the article on Variety is the Superman that we saw the few times we did
was
see
CG.
Him was all CG.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, I thought like with the hand. I thought it was just some like crew member or something. That
I think the hand might have been the only live thing.
No, it was all CG instead of 100% CG.
But didn't she touch the hand?
CG is that good.
No, okay.
I mean, we watched a movie with CG turtles fighting CG warthogs and rhinoceri.
Mm-hmm.
So CG's pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think it's cool. And, you know, I think part of this is, you know, now that Dean Cain's on the show or has been on the show.
Mm-hmm. And will be on this season at some point.
As Jeremiah Danvers is Kara's adopted father and Alex's dad. And then Helen Slater is the mom, and she was Supergirl in the movie. And we've had Laura Vandervoort on, who played Supergirl on Smallville.
I've met all these people now that I'm thinking about that.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it seems like the natural choice would be to bring Tom Welling in.
Well, sure.
To be Superman.
Yeah, if he's willing to do it.
Now, okay, let's...
Because he hasn't said either way, like, that he wouldn't or he would do it.
Let's just say he doesn't want to do it.
Okay.
Who would you want in that role?
No idea. Actually, I would want somebody who's not known.
Yeah, completely unknown?
Yeah, completely an unknown.
Okay. Like, someone we've never even heard of, just some model that they pull off the street like they did with Tom Welling.
That's what they did with Tom Welling.
I think it should be
kind of what they did with Dean Cain.
It should be Tom.
You know who would be cool, but he's older?
Who?
Gerard Christopher, who played Superboy.
Oh, yeah.
On the new Adventures of Superboy.
I mean, he needs to be older than Kara.
Yeah.
I mean, not...
But Gerard's probably in his mid-40s to early 50s, maybe.
See, that might be too old.
Right.
So...
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I was thinking, like, someone who's, like, kind of closer in age but still older. Like, maybe, like, is it Theo James from the Insurgent movies?
Yeah.
He might be a good choice.
And Underworld.
I didn't see that one yet.
I think he was in that last Underworld movie.
But yeah, he was in it. I see that now.
I just, you know, with Berlanti bringing all the people in from other like superhero stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like John Wesley Shipp on Flash. Mm-hmm. And that it would be kind of cool to see Gerard Christopher show up.
Right.
Even if it's not as Superman, if it's something else. But, you know... I met him. I think he was the first Superman I met.
Oh, cool.
Superboy, Superman. Yeah. That's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that years ago, and he was probably one of the nicest guys I've ever met, like celebrity wise.
That's cool.
Yeah, very, very responsive and wanted to talk about playing the character, where a lot of people don't want to talk about playing the character.
Well, that's very cool. The other person I was thinking is there's this show on Hulu called Casual.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
There's an actor, his name's Tommy, Tommy Dewey, and he plays Alex Cole. He's like the main male lead.
Huh, okay.
And he's about our age. He's 37. He'll be 38 this year.
Right.
Like, I think he would be, like, he's kind of got that, like, look. He's got that, like, chiseled jaw.
Oh, okay.
He's, like, he's tall, but he's kind of lanky.
Then he's not well known. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It could be somebody who's been in stuff, but it's, like, you know, at least make it somebody.
I mean, he was in, he was on the TV series Code Black. I've never even heard of that one.
Yeah. That sounds like it's probably a Canadian show.
He did 10 episodes of The Mindy Project. You know, I mean, he's done a lot of, he's done enough stuff here, one there.
A guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I really like him. He's got this nice little, like, faraway look that he can get.
Gerard Christopher has a Superman look.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, I mean, even if he is in his 50s, he could still probably play it and play it younger.
You're right.
And that, so...
Anyway, no, you know, I agree with you, though. I think it should be someone who's not, like, instantly recognizable as another character. I saw someone put that it should be Brandon Routh. It's like, but it's going to be in the same universe as the Atom, so no.
Just no in general.
Well,
Henry Cavill. He's not doing anything right now.
I mean, although Melissa how do you say her last name?
Benoist.
She's a little old for him.
You know,
he prefers his women younger.
Oh, so, they're cousins.
Oh snap! I don't think that would stop Henry Cavill.
Wow, you know,
he was on the Tudors.
Oh, wow. So, but he wasn't. He wasn't.
He was British royalty. Anywho,
he was just a friend of, you know,
a friend of a friend.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, no, I think it's exciting, and we're going to get another Superman, so, yeah.
Another Superman.
See, this is where I think DC really needs to step up, because we've heard now the movie universe and the TV universe is different, right?
Yeah, sure.
But then they went and they killed off Task Force X and derailed Arrow for two seasons, essentially.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, if they're going to do this, they have to stand by it.
Right.
And at some point, if it's not Batman, either Nightwing or one of the four versions of Robin that we've had, or five,
right.
what, no, six, with Carrie Kelly, if you want to count that, and Stephanie Brown.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
I lost count there.
Yeah. But yeah, I think like they need to really get through this and stand behind it and say yes. Like
Dick,
this is
Jason, Tim, Stephanie, Damien.
Yeah.
And then
Carrie.
Carrie, if you want to count her.
So.
And then Duke, if you want to count
he's
him.
Not really, he was never really Robin. He was, you know, a pretender, according to Damian Wayne.
Well, they're all pretenders, according to Damian Wayne.
Even the ones that came before
Even the ones
him.
That were before
That's
him.
The best thing about Damian Wayne.
And he leads the Teen Titans, even though nobody asked him to.
No. But I cannot wait for that book. So yeah, did you read any of the did you read any of the DC comics this week?
I haven't. No.
I did not make it to the shop yet, but I am really looking forward to Wonder Woman Rebirth. Looking forward to Flash Rebirth, and then Detective Comics.
I flipped through something last night, but I don't even remember what I flipped through because I was so tired.
And then Civil War #2 looks interesting. Or no, not this week. Civil War #2 Amazing Spider-Man is this week, so. We'll see how that works out.
Are they doing like one shots or something?
Because okay. So this week was Amazing Spider-Man. Next week is Civil War II, and then X-Men Civil War.
Okay.
Which you probably won't get, but I will because I read all the X books. But yeah, all right. So, yay, nay. You signed about Superman.
I'm looking forward to seeing somebody.
Yeah.
In that role, I don't care that much who.
How do you think they should use Superman?
I want more Clark than Superman.
Okay.
Just because I think that she needs Clark more than she needs Superman.
She needs to establish herself as Kara, the person, the dual identity. And
I'm curious to see, because you know Clark's going to be in the episode, I think that we'll get a little bit more backstory on what happened with him and Kara's boss, who I can't remember right now.
Oh, Martian Man. Oh,
no. Cat.
Oh, Cat.
Cat Grant. That's it. Yeah, Cat Grant.
Oh, and then the other thing is they're going to bring Snapper Carr. I did see that today.
Then that means we're going to get Justice League at some point. I think it would be cool to see Wonder Woman show up on Supergirl because it kind of would make sense. Their Earth seems like it might be the Earth that's ripe of superheroes.
Adrian Pilecki's not doing anything.
She's on that Marvel's Most Wanted.
No, didn't get picked up.
Oh, it didn't?
No.
Yeah, that's
it. That was doomed before it started.
Yeah.
And it kind of ruined the second half of S.H.I.E.L.D.
because
they, like, she and Nick Blood were the two more interesting characters. Yeah. So when Nick Blood went away, I was like, I really don't care about any of these people anymore. So.
Yeah, I guess there's some misdirection there, but, you know. Yeah. I guess they'll be back if their show didn't get picked up.
Yeah, so I'm assuming they're going to figure out a way to fold them back into the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, it kind of would be cool if they do, like, a, you know, Wonder Woman showing up and Linda Carter playing Hippolyta.
That would be cool.
That would be cool, yeah.
She's not doing much. Yeah. Oh, they could get her daughter. Because her daughter looks just like her. It's crazy.
Yeah, she does.
So, all right. Well, cool. So let's move on. So our next topic is Marvel Studios versus Marvel Comics. Bleeding Cool had a really good report the other day. Talking about the kind of battle that has happened behind the scenes over the last few years, some of which has been public, some of it which hasn't.
Yeah.
But a unnamed Marvel board member from said that Kevin Feige couldn't shine Ike's shoes. And when they say Ike, they're talking about Marvel CEO Isaac Perlmutter. I always call him Ike Peanut Butter.
Yeah.
Because Perlmutter's hard to say.
Perlmutter.
Yeah. But it was just really interesting take because over the last few weeks and even over the last like month or two, we've had Shane Black come out and talk about how, you know, Marvel, because this was before the studio and Marvel Studios became separate entities.
Yeah.
And how Marvel and Ike were responsible for some of the more sexist, like, changes that happened to scripts or not pushing women characters and not pushing diversity and things like that. Even the Russos came out and they were talking about that with the Winter Soldier and that sort of thing. So it's really interesting.
What were they talking about though?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
They've really come out in support.
I mean, I could understand Shane, because I know that the point of view was that, what's her name? That
Rebecca Hall.
There. Rebecca Hall was supposed to be the villain.
Which would have been great because she's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been kind of cool to see Guy Pearce play the
right hand man. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean,
How much cooler has that scene if she shoots Guy Pearce?
Yeah.
You know?
And you don't see it coming.
No.
Yeah.
Like, how much cooler is that?
Like, because whole time she was manipulating everything and she takes him out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but there, I mean, you know, Iron Man 3 is a good movie. There's just a few plot holes in that movie that
it's Lethal Weapon with super suits, you know.
I don't know about that.
Like, a lot of people compare it to the what is it, The Incredibles,
really?
Yeah,
I don't understand that either.
But
the Lethal Weapon thing is just because Shane Black wrote Lethal Weapon.
Well, that's, I mean, yeah, that's where just I'm getting that from.
Then you could call it Predator with Armor. I mean, there you go. Know. Because he was in Predator.
Shane Black was in Predator?
Yeah. He's the first one that gets killed.
Oh, yeah. He is.
Yeah.
I forgot all
he's
about
the one
that
keeps telling Billy jokes.
Yeah.
About his girlfriend. Yeah.
But no, so, like, you know, the Russos, Shane Black, others, they've come out, like, really in support of Kevin Feige and the existence of the Marvel movies. But, like, you know, this goes on. And these people, there's a link to this in our notes.
Are going to need to shut it up because Disney will shut them down.
Well, and I think part of that is why, you know, it did split, because now Kevin reports straight up to the guy at Disney.
To Bob Iger.
There's someone in between him and Bob Iger. But you know, the whole thing, too, with it's kind of the greed and things like that is perceived by Marvel. You know, in this article.
I mean, at this point, if it's to me the thing where Disney owns them, and if you keep running your mouth, you're just going to get booted out.
Yeah.
Disney don't play games. I mean, they're behind the scenes. They're running a business.
I mean, they don't just own Marvel movies.
They own Marvel.
Marvel Comics, Marvel Toys.
They own Marvel Entertainment.
Right.
Which is all encompassing. Well, no, even though studios is split. It's split.
But yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Marvel Entertainment itself is the movies, the books, the coloring books, the toys, everything. Yeah. I mean, you know, Hasbro makes the toys, but Disney owns the rights to everything they make.
Hasbro licenses the toys.
Oh, I mean, so, just, you know, on the back of the packages, it says Disney now.
I mean, it could go to Mattel very easily. Yeah. You know, it really doesn't matter.
It matters.
The other
quality of the toys will matter.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing in this article, and like I said before, it's in the show notes. You should totally go read it if you're at all interested in kind of Marvel, is the role of Avi Arad as a producer in the success of the movies.
Yeah.
There's a quote, and it says here, he knew the characters better. He knew their universe and had the ability to keep the characters in character so that Spider-Man didn't kill anyone or change his costume. I wholly disagree with this statement. And I wish I knew. Oh, it was Jim Halpin, who was on the board of directors from 1995 to present day. You know, I think when Avi Arad was in charge of things for the movie side of things, the movies did not. I mean, they didn't really work out.
I mean,
Blade was okay. Like, Blade was good. Blade was good. Blade 2 was
Spider-Man.
Okay. But again, like,
those movies were successes.
But like, saying that, like, he was, you know, true to the character.
Avi was true to the character if you watch the animated stuff, because Avi was one of the producers on the animated stuff. The movies had to go a different direction. I mean, you can't do a comic book as a movie.
And I agree.
And Avi knew that, and he just was like, you know, okay, then this is what we got to do. And that Spider-Man killing, did Spider-Man kill?
No.
I don't remember Spider-Man killing in any of the movies.
I mean, like, he moved out of the way of the glider, the goblin glider that was going to kill him, that killed Willem
Dafoe. Right, yeah, but that happens in the comic book pretty much.
I know. So, and he let, I mean, technically he killed Gwen Stacy, but, that was
In
amazing,
the movie,
anyway. But no, it's just interesting that there's just all this weird infighting, and like it feels very much like 1980s Marvel all over again, where, you know, you have editors writing, you know, other like contributing writers and editors' names wrong so they can't put another resume and things like that. It's just, I don't know. It's interesting. I think it's just a...
It just sounds like a bunch of childish bullshit.
It is. And I think it's just they've become a victim of their own success. And there's people who probably feel like they deserve more credit than they're getting.
It's one of those things where you're not getting snubbed.
Right.
Because guess what? You're still getting a damn paycheck.
Yeah.
Grow up.
I agree.
Get over it.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I find this stuff interesting, you know, just because... It's the business of entertainment.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, they're in it to make money, and there should be no qualms about that. And you know, no one should ever be...
Anything that you're doing, you're in it to make money, but it's like, as long as I'm getting a paycheck at the end of the day, you know, what can I complain about? Except that, you know, sometimes work sucks.
Yeah. But you know, I don't know any of these people. I don't care about any of these people, you know?
Yeah. I know that Kevin Feige does a good job doing what he does. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the good movies that we have.
And creators like him. You know, and he goes to bat.
He's pretty laid back.
Yeah.
He learned on the job. He worked on X-Men.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not like he doesn't know what he's doing. Obviously, he knows what he's doing, because how many movies in are we now? We're in phase 3 or phase 4?
We are in phase 3? 4?
Yeah, I think we're in 3.
3.
Yeah.
But
you've
yeah.
got what? 2 Avengers movies, 3 Iron Man movies, 2 Thor movies, 3 Captain America movies.
You have 2 movies that made $1 billion.
Yes. Let it go. Leave it alone.
And I'm sorry, but the Avengers Infinity Wars, or whatever they're going to end up calling them, directed by the Russos.
Yeah.
That's 2 more $1 billion movies that you have on your plate.
Yeah. So. And I mean, as long as, you know, you're getting your paychecks.
Yep.
You know, as long as Disney's signing that stuff and you know, you're not living on the street somewhere, be happy.
Right.
Because you could be living on the street.
Yeah. Very easily.
Yeah.
All right. Next topic. So Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Was there an end credit scene?
No.
Okay.
No. There was just that cool Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with the animated versions of the actors, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah. Cause I really had to
yeah,
you know, go. Cause I drank a big bottle of water while I was in there.
That's a big mistake.
And, I was like, oh man. And then I was looking at my phone and there was nothing like definitive about it.
I just typed in after credits and it said no. And I was like, okay, I'm out.
So,
yeah, the aftercredits.com or whatever it is.
So what did you think of the movie?
I had fun. I enjoyed it. I told people that were asking me, like, is it decent enough? I said, it's a fun movie that you don't have to think.
No, not at all.
I mean,
it was better than the first one.
Yeah. Better than the first one.
Not just story-wise, but I think production-wise.
Effects-wise, maybe? Yeah.
This time around, you could tell who the different turtles were.
Oh, you could tell that in the last one.
They just did a really good job with the size. Like, Donnie is, like, super lean in this one. Yeah. And, like, Leo is... I feel like
that was pretty much the same. They just looked a little bit more real.
Yeah.
Than they did in the first one. But, I mean, the budget was bigger than the first ones, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I'll say this. I really liked all of the scenes that had the turtles. Like, any time where the brothers were together or, you know, just a couple of the brothers were together, I really enjoyed that. Where this movie kind of fell apart for me were the times where it was just the humans. You know, the whole Will Arnett thing as the Falcon was funny, but it got old really fast.
That was fine, and I understand why they did it, because Will Arnett's popularity has gone up a little bit more since the first one.
And I mean, I've been a Will Arnett fan for a long time because of Arrested Development.
But he played well off of the turtles themselves.
It was anytime the four brothers or any one of the turtles, the human turtle interaction was great.
There wasn't a lot of just human besides Casey Jones and Laura Linney interaction, though.
And so that leads to my next point.
Yeah.
I did not like Stephen Amell as Casey Jones.
I think they didn't know what they were writing.
I really liked seeing Stephen Amell smile and look like he's having fun because that's who he is. But Casey Jones is...
I don't ever recall Casey Jones being a corrections officer ever.
He's this tough, gritty character. And like the
street-level character. Yeah.
The whole, like, I got my regular hockey game stuff, that was just, like, thrown in and shoehorned in. You know? And the fact, and I hate this, is he wore his mask for about as long as Thor wore his helmet.
Yeah.
I mean, Vincent D'Onofrio wore the Thor helmet longer in Avengers and Babysitting than either one of those wore their iconic, you know, headpieces.
Well, and it just looked very uncomfortable. Like a mask that was very uncomfortable.
I mean, it was a goalie mask. Like, yeah. You know, but like...
Not a Jason goalie mask. Yeah. It was like a straight up, like, let's find the ugliest goalie mask we can.
It was like an old school.
He didn't bother me that much. It just bothered me with the whole corrections officer wanting to be a detective.
I mean, that's part of it. I just don't.
Where did that come from?
I never felt like he was going to be able to do anything to save the day. And, you know, the whole thing with at the end where he was taking on the mutanimals, if you will, it was like, I just didn't buy it.
I liked when he made skates and had them chasing him, but I was like, what, you know, what's the use of this whole scene? It's like...
Like, Casey Jones is an inventive character, right? He came up with a whole, like, you know, in the many different, you know, animated versions of
right.
it. You know, he would have, like, shoes that had the wheels pop out, which was cool. When it was Elias...
Codis. Yeah.
He was great as Casey Jones. Yeah. I loved him as Casey Jones.
But I think they had a better idea of how to use April and Casey in those movies than they did in these two movies. Because that whole, going back to that whole thing with April being their owner.
Right.
For all intents and purpose. It's like, I just, that origin story doesn't work for me, but that's the origin story they use in the IDW book now too. So, but I mean,
works in the way that it's like, it adds to the humor of it. Like when it's like, when Hoover was like, who named them?
Yeah.
She's like, I did. Yeah. And that was funny. And her delivery was great.
But I'm like, no, Splinter named them. It's like, you know,
I know, but I liked her better in this one.
Yeah.
I wish
she seemed more relaxed with the character.
Yeah.
and more laid back. So it was like, you know, not uptight.
I would have liked to see her pull out some ninja moves.
Yeah.
At some point, just because at this point there, it seemed like it was a pretty decent time jump, about a year or so. About
a year and a half. Yeah.
And, you know, to see her with some,
I just don't think they would be teaching her.
Yeah.
I don't think that's that April O'Neil is not the type to be taught.
But the scene at the Knicks game was great.
Yeah, that was fun.
The effects were outstanding.
I liked the guys who played Bebop and Rocksteady.
So the guy that played Rocksteady is Sheamus.
Yeah.
Who is WWE wrestler.
WWE.
And then the guy that played Bebop, did you ever watch Malcolm in the Middle?
Yeah.
It was Stevie's dad.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious, you know? Like, I loved it.
I mean, they were great as human characters, and then being, you know, turned into animals, it's like still...
I like it.
You
know, like, it's look all at my the, gut. Look at my big belly.
But, I mean, it's all this the motion capture and that. Yeah, so it's like they were still playing them.
Yeah, and they were... They did the mocap.
They had some of the best scenes in the movie.
The airplane scene was good.
Yeah.
That was some of the better parts of it. But, yeah, like I said, when it was the brothers and Bebop and Rocksteady, it was great. And then... Krang was so cool.
I thought they did a really good job with the effects on
him. The fact that it wasn't just this little head in the belly.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was on like tentacles or like some sort of wire thing that it was moving around and like it was creepy. And like at one point I thought he only had one eye. I don't know if you squints. Thought that too.
Like
but,
that he's squinting but the, with just that the one eye, like he's got squinting. A bad eye or something.
And then the Krang.
My one major thing that with these two movies is that guy they got a Shredder.
Brian Yee or whatever. Yeah.
Shredder needs to be more menacing, and he doesn't feel menacing enough.
Sure.
So, I mean, you know, that's a minor complaint.
Yeah,
for
I mean, and he was kind of a throwaway in this one, to be honest.
Literally.
Well, yeah, Brian T.
Okay.
Who wants to be Namor.
Yeah, fair enough.
So,
yeah.
But yeah.
I want to be Namor too.
Oh, speaking of characters who want to be characters, and we can talk about this after we're done, but did you see the Norman Reedus thing today? Who he was to
Ghost
play?
Rider?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we can talk about that in a second. All right. So, what are your overall impressions of this movie?
I enjoyed it. Like I told a few people and they went and seen it and they said the same thing. They agreed with me. It's just a fun movie to take your kids to.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in a theater I probably 25 kids with their parents and that, and they laughed at the right points and they were quiet at the right points.
Yeah, there were maybe 7 total people in the theater when I was in there, and one was a kid and he was like dancing in the aisle and having a good time, and it was, you know, it was fun.
It was a good turnout for a Saturday. I went on Saturday morning, like the first show, and there was a good 30-40 people in the theater.
I did Monday at like 5:15,
right?
So I think on a scale 1 to 10, I probably give this one a 7.
Yeah, just I'd say 7 or 8.
I enjoyed it. I wouldn't go as high as 8 because I gave Deadpool and Apocalypse 8s, and I definitely liked those better. Like this one, I'll probably watch it again when it comes out on video with the kid. But she's like, "Can we go see it in the theater?" I'm like, "I can't sit through that again in the theater."
I told you to take her. There was nothing wrong in that movie.
Well, there sometimes you just gotta. You know how she is. She's weird.
No, you're weird.
Well, here's the thing. She watches like Jurassic Park.
Yeah, sure.
And she actively roots for the dinosaurs to eat the people, right? The other day she watched the Goosebumps kids TV show.
Okay.
And was in our bedroom that night with nightmares.
Well, it's kind of a creepy show.
But it's four kids, you know. It's just
four kids, but it's scary.
I think she would have had a problem with Krang.
Yeah, maybe. So, If she watched the cartoons, though, she wouldn't have had a problem with Krang because he was very cartoony.
Well, I get it, but the whole, like, disembodied head, chewing gum looking thing, she would have had an issue. All in all, I was very pleased with this movie.
It's definitely a movie for kids.
I'm really glad I saw it on the big screen. It is a movie for kids. I got the blue and purple mask.
Yeah.
So.
The one of those flip mask things? Yeah.
So you didn't That's go cool. to the Regal.
No.
Oh, but I did ask him, and he gave me one of the X-Men pins.
Oh, okay.
Cool. So, anyway. But, yeah. So, what did you give it about an 8?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. So, 7, 8.
Yeah.
You know, all in all, it's a fun movie.
It's a solid movie, and
it's
story
a solid
moves.
Summer movie. Yeah. And they can do one of these every other year.
It moved along pretty well. I mean.
Yeah, it had really good pacing.
Yeah.
But, It only made $35 million. But
it went up against X-Men and Captain America and what, Alistair the Looking Glass?
Yeah, I mean, and Star Wars just came out of its last theater.
Yeah. So,
But all right, so real quick before we move on to our main thing we want to talk about, Norman Reedus wants to play Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
He just wants to do that because he wants to ride bikes.
Yeah. I don't want to see Norman Reedus as Ghost Rider. The next thing I want to see happen to Norman Reedus is he get the business end of Lucille.
It's not happening.
I know it's not happening, but that's what I want.
He's too popular.
So.
He's too popular.
If that show had any balls whatsoever, that's what they would do. Well, but they don't. They play it safe.
All right. I just got trimmed off a few years ago.
No kidding. All right. So now for our main topic, and for the next few weeks, we are going to be talking about the Disney sci-fi movies from the last couple of decades.
Last, like 50 years of...
The last several decades. How about that?
Yeah.
Anyway, and the first one we're going to talk about is 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, which you shared because you owned it and I did not.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I hadn't watched this since I was a kid.
Yeah, I think I was a teenager last time I watched it. I've owned it for a couple of years, but just never sat down and watched it.
I might have been like 7.
Yeah.
So, wow. But I remembered it. I mean, it stuck with me because, you know, I mean, I read the Jules Verne novel and, you know, all that fun stuff. But as we were watching it, I think a couple times just was like, I could have swore they were underwater way more.
Nah.
And you know what it was? Is, you know, the octopus, like, squid thing in the Popeye movie with Robin Williams and... I forget who was Olive Oil. Was it Shelley Duvall? Shelley Duvall. Yeah. Like, I think in my head I had mashed, like, that scene into...
You're doing a lot of mashing.
Yeah, I know. It's all about mashing today. Mashups. But no, I loved watching this again.
Yeah.
It was so fun. And then... The Kid Bado 7 was like a slack-jawed zombie watching it.
Oh, yeah?
She was barely even blinking. She was all in. She loved the squid. She loved, you know, the fact that it was like real effects and that kind of stuff. And, you know, I had to explain to her what a cannibal was.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's gross, but that was awesome. I love Kirk Douglas.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
this whole cast was just, you know.
I mean, James Mason and, you know.
I mean, Kirk Douglas played Ned Land. James Mason plays Nemo. Paul Lucas, who I found out watching the behind-the-scenes stuff, was a Dutch actor, well-known over in Europe, played Pierre Anorax, and then Peter Lorre as Consell, which is a different role for Peter Lorre, because usually he's playing the scheming, bad guy. In that. And then, you know, there's several more people in it, but, you know, obviously they're the main four.
Yeah.
In the movie. Movie's directed by Richard Fleischer, who his dad was Max Fleischer.
Mm-hmm.
And that, who...
From Superman
fame? Well, yeah. It was fun because I watched the... there was a...
Did you watch the special features?
There was a two-hour behind-the-scenes thing that they had made for that DVD release. And they interviewed Richard Fleischer, and he told the story about how his dad and Walt were kind of competitors. And that,
oh,
and
when, yeah. Well, they were. They really were.
Yeah. And Walt wanted him to direct it. And he literally said he went to his dad and said, hey, Walt Disney wants me to direct a movie for him. And Max told him, he goes, go ahead and do it. He goes, Walt's a good guy. He goes, just let Walt know he's got one of the best directors around.
That's awesome.
That's a cool thing for a dad to do. Talked about in there, the behind the scenes. Like, this was the first live action Disney movie.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. I think there had been movies with live action in them, but this was the first pure.
Yeah.
They had to build a new studio on the
Tank.
Yeah, the tank for the squid scene. Squid scene got reshot because they actually have it on the DVD. The original, they found like a 16mm. Reel of it.
Oh, cool.
It was shot as a sunset scene, so they were fighting it while the sun's out,
right?
And it looks terrible.
Yeah,
Walt was like, you need to go back and do this.
Do it at night.
So, like, they told the story about how they sat around and were trying to figure out what to do. And one guy just went, well, why don't we shoot it during a storm?
Oh.
It's because it hid the wires.
Yeah.
They said that, like, that was the best way they hid the wires, is they shot it in the dark in a storm, and it worked better.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the squid looks awesome. Like, even in the exterior shots of around the, what's the ship I'm drawn about?
The Nautilus.
The Nautilus, thank you. When it's wrapped around the Nautilus and, like, the sparks are going off and everything is really cool. But I think the other, like, big thing is coming out of this, and I think we both read this, and it's on, I believe it's on Wikipedia, is talking about how part of this is partly responsible for the steampunk movement.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the Nautilus, and the, my favorite thing about the movie was their dive suits.
Yeah, and the dive suits are really what I think got some of the steampunk things mixed in, because they look like they're from another planet.
Because, I mean, in Nemo's, stands itself apart, and then you know, the other
like
ones.
Every crewman has his own suit,
like the like some of the crewmen have, it's very similar looking, but like something is different on like the shoulder pads or
like
the
they made their own
like
suits
that.
You find out that like the all of them had been escaped slaves, and they built the Nautilus, and they, you know, you pretty much go, well, yeah, then they built their own suits and they customized them the way that it worked for them.
Which is fun. And, you know, it's, oh, man, I definitely really, really enjoyed this. I'm really glad we decided to do this.
Yeah.
Because this is a movie I probably would not have revisited.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Especially, I mean, and it's, what, this year's 2016, this movie was released like
1954.
It doesn't feel like it.
No. I mean, some of it with, like, just the fashion. Like, even though...
Well,
like,
right.
Even though it was taking place, like, even, like, longer ago.
Right.
The hiked up pants and, you know, some of the hairstyles. But, yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it does... It still feels very contemporary and timeless. And the movie we're going to talk about next week...
is very comparative to this movie.
I didn't feel like that. And so we'll...
Really?
When we talk about The Black Hole, I'll get to that. But, yeah, I think this is probably one of my more favorite, like, sea movies. Like,
yeah.
Just thinking about it. Like, you know, even counting things like The Hunt for Red October, which is great, and not Under Siege. What was the one? Crimson Tide.
Crimson Tide, yeah.
Which is great. Like, yeah. I mean, I put this up there with those movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely. It's definitely, like... I sat there watching it, and I'm going, well, you can see where Gore Verbinski was inspired for scenes from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I mean, when Nemo's playing his piano, I'm like, well, shit, that's the same thing that happened
thing
in
that,
with Davy Jones.
Yep. Yeah, that organ was beautiful,
too. Yeah.
And, like, I love
You know
the,
it's in the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. Yeah, it's...
I've been to the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland.
Yeah, if you ever go to the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland, when they're showing the ballroom scene, when you go past the ballroom, there's a ghost playing a piano, and it's that piano.
That is cool.
So...
One of the other things I liked was the food was all, like...
Oh, yeah.
It was farm to table from underwater.
Like, you know, what you look
this but, roasted sea cucumber tastes just like chicken.
Yeah, that literally was that. It was like, this tastes like lamb chops. And it was like, that's not lamb chops.
That's the best James Mason I can do.
Yeah.
So. But, yeah.
Did you know he almost died? During
did he almost drown?
He almost drowned during the squid scene when they were shooting the day version.
Oh.
Kirk Douglas was out there, and they were like doing the scene where he's pulling him back in. Well, a rope got hooked to him and was pulling him underwater, and they noticed what was happening and pretty much saved his life.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, Kirk Douglas is far and away for me the highlight of the movie.
Yeah,
like everything about it's Ned, right?
Yeah, Ned Land. Yeah.
So, like, everything about Ned, you know how I am with names. I don't ever remember anybody's name. Like, just hit at the beginning in the town with the two women.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, and then getting kind of, like, shanghaied almost, more or less.
Yeah, the fight and everything.
To being on that boat and getting knocked overboard, and you think he's dead, and then he rolls up on the...
Well, just the song, the Whale of the Tale song.
Right. The singing and the guitar playing, even though he didn't play the guitar.
Right.
But that was fun. But my favorite moment was when he rode up on the knot to the knotless.
Yeah.
On the upside down.
Upside down.
rescue boat.
Help me get this canoe turned over.
Help me get this turned over, and you know, and then.
Yeah, everybody was really good in this. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's like one of those ones where I'm like, why didn't I watch this sooner?
Yeah, I mean, it's a small cast.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Like, I think if it would have been any bigger, you know, it would have been an issue, but yeah.
I had fun watching it. You definitely see tips of the hat to stuff, modern stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They tip the hat.
Like, you look at it, and, I mean, there's things from, like, Battlestar Galactica.
Right,
that,
yeah.
You know,
Well, just the thing where they go and see the slave island, and it's called Rurapinthe, and right. I'm like, oh, hey, Star Trek VI. It's like, that's the name of the Klingon.
That's the Klingon slave planet.
So it's like cool stuff like that. I mean, and I, you know, looking at stuff for this, they filmed in the Bahamas and Jamaica.
Yeah.
And like the beach that they filmed in Jamaica is now a resort.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's like, okay, where the cannibals come running down the beach is now a resort island. Okay. It's like, okay.
You can go and you can recreate that scene.
Yeah.
After many, many rum drinks.
Yeah, there was a fun like thing they say to watch for in there. One of the cannibals is paint the actor that was playing that cannibal painted on his forehead "Eat at Joe's." So one of the other guys' sense of humor, he said he painted on his forehead "I ate Joe."
That makes perfect sense.
So it's like they say you can actually see the one that says "Eat at Joe's."
Okay,
like you could see it in the movie if you pause it at the right moment. And it's just a fun movie. Well, I mean, great effects. Peter Ellenshaw, who did stuff for Star Wars and Black Hole.
Yeah.
And that did a lot of the matte paintings. So, like, when they get to Vulcania, it's a matte painting, and it doesn't look like
it. No, it doesn't at
all. I mean, it looks like it's all real, and it's like the only thing real in it is the Nautilus coming up through the water.
I think you give credit to just Walt Disney as a man and as a company for that technology back then.
The boldness of doing this, because this movie like went over budget.
And I'm sure it did. If they had
to reshoot stuff. It became the most expensive movie ever made at that point. It was more expensive than Gone with the Wind.
At $3 million.
Yeah, well, like, building a whole new... They said that...
What was the budget? Did you see? I never did see it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember if it actually... Let's see... $7.6 million.
You can't even make like an indie movie.
Yeah.
4.3. Yeah.
Okay.
So it was a $4.3 million.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you can't make an indie movie for that today. And this made one of the more groundbreaking.
Well, and if this wouldn't have made what it made, it would have shut Disney down. They said that.
Oh wow.
They said that like he had put so much money into this that it would have just shut the company
all
down.
All the eggs went into that basket.
Pretty much.
So. Well, very cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and what, it won 2 Academy Awards?
Yeah.
2 Academy Awards, one for art direction and one for best special effects. And it was nominated for best film editing as well. And the one thing that, like, stood out to me, the guy who was, like, they say he's the primary art designer, Harper Goff. He had done a lot. He'd worked at Disney for a long time. He designed the Nautilus, but he wasn't a member of the Art Directors Union.
Oh.
So he did not get his Academy Award.
Bastard.
Because he was in a different division of the unions out there.
Right.
And that, but he, like, and, you know, it's one of those things where if you find this DVD, buy it, watch the special features.
Yeah.
He's interviewed, like, it's old interviews with him. And, you know, he shows, literally they get him in a room where it's got different Nautilus, like, different ones he designed.
Okay.
And he shows the original one he designed and then what it became. And that, so it's really interesting. And like,
I loved Harper how they thought it was a monster and all that fun stuff. And then to find out it's
cool,
a sub.
Because he said, the script says it's a monster.
Right.
So he said that he sat there and thought about what would look like a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he crossed it with a crocodile and I think it was shark or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget what the other one was, but he said that part of it's crocodile. And if you look at it, it looks like,
yeah, it's very like, and it's got the dorsal fin like the shark. And So
yeah, it was really interesting to listen to him talk about it, and he's one of those like unsung heroes for Disney stuff. So yeah, I had heard about him listening to WDW Radio. Yeah. They did a whole episode about Harper Goff, and it's like cool. The designs and stuff that he did for the Disney company. It's like, okay, you know, this guy's one of those guys.
So filmmakers out there today, do not remake this movie.
Oh yeah.
Leave it alone.
I've seen that. I was like, we don't need a remake.
Are they?
Oh yeah, it's on Wikipedia. They talk about like the most recent was February 2016. Disney announced they want to do a movie titled Captain Nemo.
Oh wow.
Yeah, but it's a remake, yeah. No matter what. It's like, yeah. You know, we don't need remakes.
Nope. No remakes.
Yeah.
No more. Stop.
But it's cool. I mean, there's stuff that, you know.
There's other movies you have to get right first before you go back and get this one that's wrong.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with this one movie.
That was right. So, yeah.
So, I mean, great actors and,
yeah,
you know, well directed.
The fun. Just a fun movie.
The music. Yeah. I mean, Paul Smith was the composer. He'd done Pinocchio and a bunch of other, like, animated stuff. Yeah. And, like, he did the...
So imagine...
The piano stuff is, like, some of the best stuff in that movie.
Imagine you're one of the other four movies that were nominated for Best Special Effects.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's no way I'm winning this.
Right.
You know?
I mean, oh, yeah. I mean, if you watch it, you're like, wow, okay. I'm curious. I don't even know who else was nominated that year.
It doesn't matter. That's who was nominated.
Yeah. Just more Academy Awards in it to the pantheon of Disney Academy Awards.
Yep.
And I think that you wouldn't have got Finding Nemo.
No.
The
probably
name,
not.
Yeah.
So.
Would have been like Finding Harry or something. Yeah.
Finding Philip. So. All right. Well, on that note.
Yeah.
I think we're good.
All right.
So, the Infamous Podcast is at infamouspodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all Infamous Podcast. You can find Johnny online someplace.
Twitter and Instagram is Johnny Podorf.
And you can find me online pretty much everywhere. It's just at Brian Tudor. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, all that stuff. If you are new to the show, definitely check out our website. We've got a lot of great interviews. We've got other great movie reviews. This is our 47th episode, so we're closing in on 1 year. We're going to try and do maybe something fun for the 1 year. I don't know. We got to talk about that.
Yeah.
Definitely, check out some of the older shows, some of the cool interviews that we've had a chance to do.
We just posted Star Trek First Contact review.
So the Star Trek First Contact review went up on Tuesday of this week that we're recording. So that's there. We're considering this the year of Trek.
Yeah.
And honor the 50th anniversary. And so we're going to review all 12 and soon to be 13th. Movies in the Trek catalog in reverse chronological order.
Yes.
And it's been fun to revisit
those. So Generations is coming next.
Dun, dun, dun.
I watched it the other day.
Fry. Ugh. Fry. Anyway. All right, guys. So on that note, thank you for listening. Make sure that you go and give us, if you feel like it. A 5-star review.
If you feel like it, no, go do it. There's no feeling like it. I'll come to your house.
5-star reviews on, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you're listening to us. And then if you haven't yet, we still don't have a winner for our Deadpool HD code download giveaway for the full movie. Go back to episode 46, and there are the rules there. Any last words?
No. What are the rules? I don't even remember what the rules were.
Or the question, what it was.
Oh.
So, then go back and listen to it.
You could tell them again.
What color were Deadpool's masturbating shoes?
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, all right, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Have a great day, night, weekend, morning, whenever you listen to this stuff. And we will see you later.
Later.
Later.